Yo, what is good, and welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 10th, 2023, aka my birthday. I just turned 29. Let's go. Woo! It's me. I'm here, Jen Garcia, joined by none other than Paris Lilly. It's a part-timer's takeover. Paris, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I'm very excited that you and I finally... we get to do something together. The part-timers are here to screw up Kind of Funny Daily.
Exactly.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah, like it's about time, frankly. And I feel like today, we were like talking a little bit before the show, I feel like the news was curated perfectly for us because we have like almost, I didn't count it out, but almost an even amount of stories that are PlayStation and Xbox focused. It's perfectly balanced, as all things should be. Could there have been a better day for us to do this?
No, this is why I wore the XCast sweatshirt.
We need better merch. We talked about this on PS I Love You again. I got the sweatshirt. I left it at home, but I'm waiting for us to get some new drops. But let's get into it. Today's stories include reports of an Xbox Games Showcase, Last of Us HBO's first reviews being out, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be part of the show, head over to kindoffunny.com/KFG to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Some housekeeping for y'all. Tomorrow, there's a new, brand new episode of The Blessing Show, breaking down Blessing's exclusive award show, the Non-Game of the Year Awards. You won't want to miss it tonight, tomorrow, right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames at 9 a.m. PT. And thank you to our Patreon producers, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Honey, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories here today.
A baker's dozen.
And we're starting off strong with a report that Xbox will host a new Developer Direct games show for Redfall, Forza, and more. This comes from Jez Corden over at Windows Central. The article reads, Xbox fans have been waiting for a while for information on this year's slate of Xbox games, set to include games like Redfall and the hotly anticipated Starfield. It seems that we won't have to wait much longer if our information is correct. I heard there was an Xbox showcase on the horizon back in December, as we discussed on our Xbox 2 podcast, Boom, Never Stop Selling, but have since been able to lock the information down with a variety of sources familiar with Microsoft's plans. It seems the show will be called a Developer Direct and may be part of a new initiative from Microsoft and Xbox to offer information on upcoming games more frequently outside of the major E3 and Game Awards marketing beats. From what we understand, the Developer Direct show is slated for January 25th at 12 p.m. PT on Xbox's official channels on Twitch and YouTube. Although these dates are subject to change, the show will be hosted by both Xbox and Bethesda, with deep dives into Redfall, Minecraft Legends, Forza Motorsport, and content from ZeniMax Online Studios. From what we understand, this won't be a full-blown E3 scale kind of show and will be a more intimate look at some upcoming exclusives. As such, we've heard Starfield may even be skipping the show for a bigger marketing beat later. The Developer Direct showcase will hopefully be the beginning of a more frequent marketing cycle for the company, as many fans have asked Microsoft to look to Nintendo's Direct-style shows to keep the news cycle going. We expect Microsoft will make the show official as soon as next week, so be sure to keep an eye out. Paris, what do you need to see from this showcase to be a win for you and for Xbox?
It really comes down to this. So obviously, you know, when Jez put this out yesterday, I saw the tweet and I responded. And my thing is, if and or when this happens, release dates. That's the most important thing that Xbox can do with whatever this event is eventually going to be, is the games that you have promised from your last showcase over the next 12 months, which is now coming up, you need to put release dates on it. So Forza, I want to see a release date for it. Minecraft Legends, I want to see a release date for it. Redfall, I want to see a release date for it. On down the line. Now, as far as Starfield goes, that's an interesting one because I think it can go one of two ways. The fact that it's not going to be the main thing of this showcase, allegedly, says to me, Bethesda has a lot of confidence in Starfield. This is obviously the biggest IP that Microsoft has had in the past few years, and they want to give it its own spotlight versus trying to share it with other titles. So this could actually be a good thing for Starfield. I would imagine that if it's not at this showcase, they at least mention, hey, here's a little Todd Howard comes out, says something. Don't worry, we'll be talking more about Starfield later. Then you have your big Starfield event, put a release date on Starfield as well. But that's the main thing. Let us know when these games are coming out because 2022 was obviously very light for Xbox. 2023 has to hit big, and I think it starts with whatever the showcase is going to be in January. Jez Corden, wherever the camera is.
So if we don't get release dates, do you think this is like a disappointing showcase?
It would be. It 100% would be. If they were to do another showcase, show us these same games again, and again, they're going to have other partnered games, you know, like Replaced, I would imagine, would be there, Flintlock, things like that. But if they're showing us the same games that you showed us back in June, but there's no date on it, what's the point? I mean, people were already upset that they didn't have anything to show at the Game Awards, but like Aaron Greenberg came out right after and said, don't worry, you won't have to wait long. That wait, not wait long, needs to be, all right, here's release dates for these games that we've promised you.
With a name like Developer Direct, what kind of format do you expect this to take? Do you think it will be more developer, straight to cam kind of focused? And if so, like, what's your ideal vision for this showcase?
Well, I will say,
paint me a word picture.
Having a little bit of experience hosting an Xbox event, it's pretty clear this doesn't need to be that. This doesn't need to be you have a host come out, you're sitting down on a couch talking about these games. Instead, maybe you show some trailers, and then you have the actual developers themselves talk about these games and go, hey, we're excited that Forza Motorsport is coming out on March 23rd, 2023, or whatever the case may be, right? Just do something like that. It doesn't even need to be that long. You could have 5 to 8 minute clips per game, 30-minute show, get out there. But now people have the expectation of these are when these games are coming out. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think for me, like with something like it being called a Developer Direct Showcase, I definitely do have that expectation of hearing directly from those developers and having them be the ones to sort of hype up their game. And something I'd love to see is, I think, a little bit more of like an intimate look of that. I think Microsoft, one of their big kind of marketing ethos beats is that like friendly, familiar, we're hanging out, it's casual, but we're passionate and we're here and games, you know, that's very much like they have such a friendly marketing brand that I'd love to see it take a little bit more of a creative spin, like that you're right there, as who could forget, right? An iconic moment in all of our lives. But I'd love to see it take a little bit more of a creative spin. Like I think about the stuff that Annapurna does,
yes,
for their showcases, or even like looking at even more of the indie space, what we get from like Day of the Devs. I'm like, oh, these, they get it, you know, they let the developers be themselves, which gets a little wonky. They have like different kind of sets and setups for them. Like I'd love to see some of that personality shine through, because especially because at the end of the day, like it's gonna be, you know, marketing speak level stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone's excited to show their game, of course, so I'd love to get a little bit more of a sense of who are these studios, you know, what is a little window into their process, what makes them tick, what kind of people are they, and just kind of I think humanize that marketing beat, because it's something we kind of don't really see from either of the other big two. Nintendo is so like quick, right? Which I think works great for them. PlayStation surely could use a little bit more personality, I think, in what they're doing. So I think Xbox really has an opportunity here to kind of,
you mean you don't like the disembodied female voice that introduces you to the PlayStation worldwide studios because we have no personality?
I mean, you know, with no personality, you won't know who they're getting rid of. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see something a little warmer for sure.
You know what, though? But when I think about all three, the big three, Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox, I think Nintendo obviously set the template here with doing their directs. I think the state of plays from PlayStation do the job, even though it could be a little more personalized. Xbox, I would hope that they're taking lessons learned from that. Look at what Devolver Digital, so like you said, Annapurna as well. Take lessons learned from that and communicate more throughout the year in smaller chunks. Spotlight more of these studios and these games that, because like when I think back to their showcase in June, right? Like they showed, you know, all this stuff, all it was great, 90 minutes. What do you remember out of that showcase? I remember Starfield and Kojima. That's it. There's all these other games that just get lost in the shuffle where if you kind of piecemeal that out throughout the year, give them the spotlight, 15, 20, 30 minutes at the most, it builds more awareness towards these smaller games that people can be excited for when they do come out versus just the big, you know, AAA franchise games.
Yeah, I'd also like to see them take a more like bite-sized approach to, especially like their indie stuff or even like their deep dives into certain games. Like there are so many things that Microsoft's putting out so much content marketing their stuff, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to tune in for this like 3-hour stream kind of thing.
Exactly.
So I'm looking forward to the idea of them having these more bite-sized pieces. For you, what would be your ideal kind of marketing suite for Xbox? Because I think we all have, you know, as PlayStation, Nintendo fans, like we all have things we want to see more or done a little bit differently. So what would be your ultimate Xbox games marketing blueprint?
Where's Kim? If it was me, if I was running marketing at Xbox.
Paris.
Am I looking at the wrong one? Look
so
at this one.
As a tip, we've got the red is what we're live on. Okay. And then the green is what I'm previewing.
See, this is what happens when there's part-timers. I have no idea what the camera
you want
is.
Me to give you, I can give you your solo camera right
no,
here.
No.
If you're talking to the people.
Okay, I'm talking to the people. So if I was running it, if I was doing for Xbox throughout the year, I would have quarterly shows. Every quarter, I would have something that spotlighting not just the big AAA games, not Starfield, Redfall. I would look at a game like Replace. I love Replace. Or a game like Flintlock, as an example. What's the... I want to say Cumberbatch, but it's wrong. I'm forgetting the name of it.
The case of Benedict Fox?
Yes. Things like that. Spotlight these smaller games. Minecraft Legends is another one that I really feel like is flying under the radar for them because, like my kids and I, we love Minecraft Dungeons. We play the co-op, love it to death. I saw Minecraft Legends and I go, wow, this is something me and my kids are absolutely going to love to want to play. Talk about those games. Spotlight those developers. Show us these things. We already know about Starfield. We know about Forza. We know about Halo, Gears, all that. Start showing some of these other IPs that you have and don't just throw them into one big show in the middle of the year where they get lost in the shuffle. If you do more of these shows, have a consistent cadence throughout the year where you're talking to developers, spotlighting these games. I mean, Xbox Game Studios at this point is, what, 23, 24 studios? If they acquire Activision, they go 30-plus. There's a lot of studios making a lot of games under the Xbox brand. You have the entire calendar year to kind of spotlight them. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us would love to see a little bit more of a consistent cadence from any of the big three, especially because I think it eliminates so much of the wondering and questions that we currently have of when's the next one? It's been a while. Like, the amount of, like, meme-style red tape that I think we've all gone through covering either of these companies, like, it would be just nice to have some familiarity in the cadence, and I think that also takes a little bit of the pressure off in some sense. Or, I don't know, maybe they don't want to do that because they don't want to feel like they have to have something prepared for a certain amount of time. Certainly there's, you know, pros and cons to each, but it's so fascinating how Nintendo really did set the stage for this. Yep. And I'm excited to see, like, what is Xbox's take? How do they make it their own? And, you know, how competitive is it with the format of State of Play or, like, oh, my God, what's the other one? The, like, little one? Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm blanking on it.
Yeah, exactly. People in the chat love to know. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But for now, let's talk about The Last of Us TV show's first reviews being widely positive. This comes from Chris Gullion over at VGC, who writes, the first reviews of HBO's TV adaption of The Last of Us have started appearing, and they're widely positive. Variety calls the show a, quote, promising movie, moving zombie saga, stating what works in The Last of Us works well enough that one sees the near future in which the show winds up being among television's best. Digital Spy calls it, quote, the first contender for best show of the year. Granted, this is like the very beginning of the year. Adding that the show makes changes to the game's narrative, but claiming while diehard purists might balk at some of these changes, the silence you can hear is us not caring because the show will transcend all of that. And right now on screen, we have it at a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. I know when I woke up this morning, it was like at 100, which is ridiculous. Again, the percentage on Tomatoes really quick is just how many critics recommend it. So it doesn't get into the nuance of like how high those positive scores
no,
are.
No, it means an A plus, Janet. That's what it means. And everybody agrees with that A plus.
Exactly.
It
means whatever you want it to mean, frankly. You know, go wherever you need to get the answer that you're looking for. But continuing with the article, in a 5-star review, Empire calls it, quote, comfortably the best adaptation of a video game ever made, declaring it a superb example of how to make an adaptive work, how to retain the elements of what worked while having the confidence to explore bold new avenues, to expand the universe, to make a thing that stands on its own feet. However, not all publications have been without criticism. Entertainment Weekly gives the show a B-minus rating, claiming it can decide if it's an adaptation or a replay. One episode completely shifts the game's canon, but some scenes get recreated shot for shot, it explains. That may work best for newbies or fans who prefer adaptations barely adapted. It contributes to the feeling of watching someone else's replay. TV Guide, meanwhile, gives the show a 7.9 rating, saying the story occasionally feels rushed, and the show could have expanded its perspective beyond the source material even more, adding that it's at its best when it goes beyond the game. So to bring in this discussion, I'm going to pull in a question from Nano, who says, hey, y'all, with the reviews of The Last of Us coming in, is it what you expected? Specifically, it being one of the most accurate game adaptations, and two, making it feel predictable as people who have played the game. And is the predictability as fans of the game a bad thing? Thanks from Nano. So Paris, are you surprised by these review scores?
It's actually exceeded my expectations, to be honest with you. I do have to say, Danny and Rihanna Pena, I know you went to the premiere last night. Where's my invite? I didn't get it. That kind of makes me feel sad. But to the point of the reviews and seeing that, I'm very happy to see that. It's very exciting to see it's so highly rated and people are really excited about it because Danny even told me offline after watching it, you know, really loved it, saying that people are going to really enjoy this. I think you do have
to. Yeah, there they are, stunting on all of us.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
Having fun with that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where was I at? I was in the rain.
You're like, oh, we trekked through the rain. There's not a drop on them. I'm calling cap, okay? Like,
but you do have to take some creative liberties when you're, because they're not just trying to appeal to us.
Sure.
We've all played the game. We know the story. We love it. But now you're trying to appeal to a mass audience. And if you have to take some creative liberties, you obviously have to expand the story in certain aspects to appeal to that wide audience. And it looks like they've done it in a way that everyone's going to be happy about it. Because obviously the people that have seen the premiere are people that are already familiar with the source material, but it was faithful enough to it that they were happy with it. So I'm very excited to see this when, what is it, the 15th it comes out, right?
I think so. It's pretty soon.
This Sunday. So yeah. This will be the kind of, I assume, taking the time slot for when Game of Thrones usually kicks on.
Do you feel like, are you worried or excited at the idea of watching it and kind of feeling like you're watching someone's Let's Play? Like, is that a pro or a con to you?
I don't know if it's either or. I mean, I guess because we've gotten to the point with video games to where they're accepted in entertainment and media, you know, as a certain type of genre, I guess you could say. So I don't view it as, oh, I'm just watching someone play the game, that I'm viewing this as an adaptation of the game that I played. Let's see how this looks in live action.
In terms of cutscenes, because it's been talked about that, like, yeah. Oh, some stuff's like recreated kind of shot for shot in terms of like cutscenes, yeah. Or maybe even like gameplay sequences. I don't know. Again, didn't watch it, didn't get an invite. You know, my email's in my bio, everyone. Maybe y'all don't know, but it's there. What kind of scenes do you really want them to be faithful to?
Well, the one that stands out, without spoiling this for anyone that isn't familiar with it, is the opening.
Yeah.
I would love to see that almost shot for shot, because I think that was so emotionally powerful the way that they did it. So that alone has me fascinated just to see how they're going to open it with that scene. So, yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, I absolutely would love to see that one too. And like for me, the idea of like getting Let's Play vibes from it doesn't really bother me, because I think, you know, as memed as it is, there's a little bit of truth to like, I don't know if you've ever seen that PlayStation meme of like playing a PlayStation game. It's a guy with a controller. And then like 1 second later, it's the same guy with like a bucket of popcorn.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's very much the vibe for a lot of things. So I think in that sense, it's a convenient kind of game to adapt, because it has so much of that cinematography already present.
Yeah, but not to tangent away from gaming, but I think this is relevant. So did you, I don't know if you're familiar with Cowboy Bebop.
A little bit, but
a little bit. So they had the Netflix live action show last year, and it was a complete disaster. It got canceled, you know, after one season. And I'm a hardcore Cowboy Bebop fan, so I know the source material word for word, shot for shot. And they were faithful to some things in that show that, like, from Ballad of Fallen Angels, there's an iconic shot in there that's in the live-action show. But they took so many other different liberties and changed so many other things in the show that it was no longer Cowboy Bebop. It was just something that was, like, some weird cosplay of it. And it doesn't sound like that's what they're doing here with The Last of Us. It sounds like it is faithful enough to the source material while at the same time taking some creative liberties that, like I said before, everyone can be happy with it. So again, I'm excited to see that.
To me, it reminds me of, like, you know, you see a play a couple of times, but eventually you're going to see it from a different production and, like, a different creative standpoint and different actors. And I'm kind of excited for that standpoint of, you know, seeing the, you know, not too different interpretation of Joel and Ellie, but the different takes and what they can bring differently that Troy and I'm blanking on the actress who voices Ellie, what they originally brought. So in that sense, I'm also excited of, like, almost seeing a different production of the same story.
Yeah, or just, like, digging into more of the characters, which, like, I skimmed a couple of reviews and people talked about, like, or even just people's thoughts on Twitter, and they were talking about, oh, I finally feel like they can really dig into the characters here more, which, of course, it's, like, a big beloved aspect of the game. So them having that, like, space to have more exploration is really exciting to me, especially because I think, without giving away too much of the game is very old at this point. There have been so many times where, like, you know, the scene with, like, what is it, that guy and his, I think it's his younger brother or his son, you know, that kind of grouping that you meet, and I'm like, oh, I wanted more, and I feel like now we can have that opportunity to get more, albeit it is in a different medium. You know, I have seen people talk about, like, it's a little silly to say, like, the show is better than the game or the game is better than the show. Like, they're, unlike the Cowboy Bebop thing, at least those are both, like, in that same, it's not that big of a jump, right, in terms of medium, because it's really just stylizing differently. I mean, again, it is different, but it's not as big of a leap. So it'll be exciting to see it. Okay, yeah, they're brothers. Thank you. I could not remember. One thing I want to ask before we move on. This is an HBO show, right?
Yes.
Are there sex scenes in this show?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. I mean, they obviously have the freedom to do that if they choose.
Yeah. Let me know in the chat what you guys think. I think absolutely. I don't know how or why, but, like, it's an HBO show. So I'm leaning on yes, but we'll see how all that goes. The gore, just the take on it. But I'm really excited to see how people perceive this, especially those who, like, aren't fans of The Last of Us. Right. Like, I have plenty of friends and family who are like, you know, Last was not my thing, whether it's because they don't like, you know, games that have guns, or, like, for me, my sister-in-law said she's, like, burned out on the zombie thing. So I'm wondering, well, like, just, I mean, the show still is that. So I'm just curious as if this will win people over who maybe were a bit hesitant on it otherwise.
Yeah,
but
I just think on that real quick before we move on, sure. I think the key is obviously going to be the Joel-Ellie relationship. If they're able to nail that in live action the way that they were in the game, I think everyone's going to be very receptive to it. And it sounds like these early reviews, they absolutely have. So,
yeah, I'm really excited to see just some of my favorite scenes come to life. And I'm also curious to see, like, how much content do they get through, you know, in the context of a season versus, like, the entirety of the game. Like, do we get to winter? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. And speaking of Naughty Dog stuff, let's move on to story number 3, in which Naughty Dog says their next game will be announced closer to release. This comes from Eddie how do you pronounce that last name, Wendy? How do you think?
McCaw?
Our good friend Eddie over at GameSpot. GameSpot.com/wrong. Let me know how to pronounce that name. The article reads, Naughty Dog is working on multiple new game projects, but when will they be announced? We still don't know. But Naughty Dog's Neil Druckmann has said fans should expect the studio to announce these games closer to release than it did for Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, and The Last of Us Part 2. Speaking of comic book, Druckmann said that the fact that these games were announced years before they eventually came out created some hardships for the people making them. Quote, we did announce Uncharted 4 and Last of Us Part 2 way in advance, but that actually caused a little bit of work-life balance issues that we've sometimes had at the studio, Druckmann said. For Naughty Dog's next game, Druckmann said announcing them later in their development cycle would allow the team to play with the schedule more. He also mentioned that Naughty Dog's upcoming game slate includes The Last of Us multiplayer game and another project, Paris. React.
This is fantastic news. I think a lot of publishers should take cues from this and stop announcing these games so early because, to his point, schedules change, things happen. We obviously just went through a pandemic, which threw everything into flux. So to kind of hold some of this stuff closer to the vest when you can have a better idea, you know, far into the development cycle of, okay, we think we can hit this date or this release window, then you start announcing and then you start doing your marketing campaigns. Because I'm trying to remember, I think it was The Last of Us, was it The Last of Us 2? Which one am I thinking of? Or maybe in the first Last of Us, it just felt like it was just years and years and years before we finally got it. And was like, is this game even coming out? Is it even real? And we've seen that more and more. And, you know, PlayStation had a bad reputation of that, you know, during the 2010s of doing that. And they seem to have gotten better with it. And to have Neil Druckmann come out and say this, this is smart. This is the right approach.
Yeah, I think it also like speaks to, and the problems are never all going to be solved, you know, as long as we like have the societal constructs that we currently have. But I do think that things are getting better in terms of at least even having that kind of conversation. I mean, I remember like, and we've talked about this plenty of times on this show and others, but like not that long ago, like crunch was not only like very accept, like it wasn't frowned upon at all. Like right. It was totally fine as like a almost like bragging point. Like I remember getting I've told a story before, but a copy of Mafia 3 from, what's it called, Gamefly, where you like, you know, order the game. This is actually a very modern story. I don't know why I was still using Gamefly, but I was like, let me check it out. And it mentioned on there, like, oh, like the studio slaved over this game. And I'm like, oh, this is like not language you'd see used. And even the times you do see, like, we've all seen like a developer or a team or a lead be like, oh, I'm proud of my team for like doing some shit they should not have been doing. Yeah. And then you'll see a bunch of people come out and be like, hey, that's not okay that you're right. Like, saying that, you know, this speaks negatively about how you run your team, this, that, and the other. So I do think, you know, it's so interesting talking about like having the story in context of also talking about the potential like Xbox showcase and sort of how marketing can be in conversation with the development process, how they can impact each other and the people that may get hurt from that. And I think from a fan perspective, like, I'm all for announcing stuff just close to the date.
Yeah,
it can feel a little bit, I think, cause since we cover games, which is like a different kind of thing, like a little bit like, oh my God, it's like almost ready now. But I don't really know any fans that really want super long like projections for things. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like this is a case where everybody kind of wins. I think the only slight, I wouldn't say apprehension, but I know a lot of us, myself included, are excited to hear like something a little more concrete about Last of Us multiplayer. But at the same time, that was kind of a case of that, right? Like, we heard back when the game came out, oh, it's not going to have multiplayer because we're working on something for later. And the only reason that we all feel that kind of united, when are they going to talk about factions? When are going to, is because they, like, gave us that little tidbit exactly. So early on.
And then he just talked about it. What was that? Summer Game Fest. Mm-hmm. He brought it up again.
Yeah, like, the art. We, like, saw, like, key art, but, like, what's it called? Concept art?
Yep.
Which it's funny, like I saw someone in the chat say like, was factions ever really announced? And it's like, it wasn't a fever dream. We all saw like someone like took out some watercolors and was like, you know, The Last of Us, y'all like The Last of Us. So yeah, we do know that's coming, but I think the fact that we got such an early taste of that idea has created like this feeling of we're watching and waiting for this to happen. Which wouldn't happen if they didn't announce it in the future. So, before we move on, what do you want Naughty Dog's other project to be?
Something that's not Uncharted or Last of Us related. I would love to see Naughty Dog take on a brand new IP, whatever genre they decide to dive into, because I think they've shown their track record. They're pretty damn good at whatever they do. So would love to see a new IP.
Yeah, same. Part of me would love to see something like a little more like lighthearted from Naughty Dog, which I know they're kind of the doom and brood studio in a lot of ways, though Uncharted doesn't really have that necessarily. I mean, there's serious stuff that happens on Uncharted, but it is still about like, isn't it crazy how Nathan Drake gets in on all these adventures and like, oh, he barely made it out. Like, it's a little bit more jovial, I think, than The Last of Us. So I would love to see something lighthearted. I'd love to see something new. But that's what I am hoping for. And I guess it'll be maybe kind of a while until we hear about it. But the good news is once we do, it should probably should be like coming, pretty around the corner. Soon, yeah. It's like, it's right heading out. And in the meantime, I want y'all to remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey's the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past, and we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite websites. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site, and if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands of dollars on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops. It works on your iPhone, too. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. Get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
Let's talk about Forza Horizon Leeds leaving Xbox's Playground Games to form a new AAA studio. This comes from Tom Ivan over at VGC, who writes, some of the key talent behind Microsoft's Forza Horizon series has left Xbox's Playground Games to form a new AAA development studio called Maverick Games. The Leamington Spa UK-based Outfits founding team is led by former Forza Horizon creative director Mike Brown, who's serving as its creative director and studio head. The startup said it has secured significant seed funding, and its debut game will be a new premium open-world title for consoles and PC, although Tuesday's announcement didn't confirm if it's in the racing genre. Some of the key talent behind... secured funding. We don't know if it's racing or not. Our goal is for Maverick Games to be a studio people will love, said Brown. For players, we're already at work on an exciting, ultra-high-quality title... very specific. And for developers, we're building a home where everyone is encouraged to take risks, be curious, be creative, be innovative, be themselves, and above all, be a maverick. Kind of getting like U.S. Army vibes from that ending bit. But Paris, what do you make of this? Do we need to be a little nervous in terms of Playground Games?
You know, when I saw that this morning, and I was lucky enough to interview Mike Brown and meet him. Great, fantastic guy. And Forza Horizon 5, the game itself is great. It's obviously one of the best games right now that you get on the Xbox Series X or S. And then the Hot Wheels expansion was great as well. So when I first thought, I was like, I'm happy for Mike. I'm happy for everyone that's creating the studio. But then it made me think about Playground Games. I go, should we be concerned? And then when I really thought about it, not really, because it doesn't sound like Mike Brown was involved in anything they were doing with Fable. And obviously Fable is the big IP that's coming out of that studio in the next few years. I almost think with Forza Motorsport coming out, Horizon, the series, might take a little bit of a break. Mm. And I think that's okay, because I think 5 is in such a good place that people can be in that open world of Mexico, and they can, I think they got another expansion that's coming out to it as well. So I think people will be fine with Horizon for a while. You already got a team working on Fable, so maybe Mike Brown and the other veteran people at Playground were like, you know what? We want to do something new. We want to branch out. You know, we've done all that we can do at Playground, so let's start our own studio and create a brand new game, which, hey, I'm all for new IPs. So, no, I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing. I think, if anything, people should be happy for Mike Brown and that team creating that studio.
Yeah, obviously, I think the answer to this question is always, like, whatever they want to do and, like, you know, whatever project they're passionate about. But just dreaming for a second.
Yeah.
Do you want to see a racing game from them? Do you want to see something totally different?
Totally different.
Something you're... Yeah. Is there something, like... you're feeling like the space is lacking that you'd like to see their take on? Obviously, you know, we don't know the details of the talent, the interests, what they have in mind, but...
I mean, they obviously mentioned open world here, so we think about so many different type of open world games that are out there now. I don't have anything specific top of mind, but I would love to see them go outside the box and do something different in the open world space, because I do feel like there's a lot of open world fatigue. I mean, there's some games that obviously stand out that are fine, but the majority of them in today's market of is like, oh, it's like a slog going through it. Like we were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Another checklist.
Another checklist. So maybe take some lessons learned from some of the open world games that are out there. Look at a genre that may be lacking. I can't think of one off the top of my head and target that.
Yeah, I think definitely the genre could use a little bit more like creative twists in terms of breaking the mold of what we expect. Funny enough, like you don't see, I think because open world already is so ambitious and vast. You don't see a lot in the way of, I think, genre mashups once open world gets involved. Funny enough, you know, having left Playground Studios, I love to see something playful from the team. Yeah. I mean, I think when I, you know, look back on my memories of Forza Horizon, like, that is so much the tone of that game. There's so many wonky, creative, weird ways that they have you moving around in a car, like knocking over piñatas or like doing these different like tricks or having these like iconic like landscapes to take photos of. Like, there's so much that they got out of what could have easily just been a, oh, you're driving to like the race you do kind of thing. So I think they've done some really fun twists on that formula. So definitely excited to see what's next. You already mentioned that you think Horizon's going to take a break, but where do you want them to go next in the world with Forza Horizon?
Ooh, that's a really good one.
Because they just did Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, working backwards, like.
That's a good one. I don't know. Because
they had Australia as well.
Yeah,
they
haven't done Japan yet.
Mm. Oh, man, but like, how much would they have to change, like, the land? I mean, obviously, there are plenty of creative liberties they take, even with like Mexico. It's a lot of obviously open space. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's the only thing. But I mean, the UK is also very tight, and they like managed to create a map that I think worked for that area. So we'll see. I feel like I got what I wanted with Mexico in a lot of senses. I would love to see more like distinctive soundtracks, I think, paired with the Horizon series. Like, one of my disappointments from Forza Horizon, the one that's in Mexico, is that there isn't like much in the way of like banda music. And I'm like, how do you have a game in Mexico? And I'm like, there's not like a banda music radio station. Like, I'd love to see that kind of explored a bit more. But I mean, I think what they did with like driving through the pyramids and things was like so creative, so cool. Excited for what's next from Playground and also this new studio. I'm also a big fan of just anytime someone's starting something new, I'm like, maybe it's the part-timer in us. It's like, go make your art. Go make your weird art. Let's go ahead and talk about, speaking of speculation, some footage of an unannounced Sony shooter allegedly leaking online. This comes from Jordan Midler over at VGC. The article reads, footage claiming to be from an unannounced PlayStation shooter has emerged online. The brief footage shows a character walking towards a balcony while a large creature climbs the side of a building. It's claimed that the footage is from a sci-fi third-person shooter that is being developed in Unreal Engine 5. Notable leaker Dusk Golem has claimed that they have, quote, seen a lot more of the game and that the footage is from an older build. It's claimed that the game will be worked on through XDev with an unknown external studio. The vibes are very sci-fi. The vibes are a little Gears. Do you feel, obviously, we don't know if this is real. We don't know if anything's going to come of this, but do you feel like that is a facet of gaming that PlayStation is lacking? Like, do we need our own kind of like sci-fi Gears Halo energy IP?
I think so. I do think so. I think when you think about the flagship PlayStation IPs right now, there is a definite gap in that particular genre that you're talking about. So it's obviously rumored, but if this is true, then absolutely. I would love to see it.
Yeah, I think too, like, what stands out to me from this, again, who knows if this is real, who knows what this is, but the idea of, I think, checking that box of like more multiplayer games on PlayStation, a more online multiplayer presence, that's been something that like PlayStation has talked a lot about. Like, hey, we have like 2 kajillion games in development ready to go. Like, you're going to be living on your PlayStation, but we've yet to really see that pay off. As with anything, like, it's so hard to get that kind of thing right, where players really feel like they're in on that world, living on that world, checking in. Where you buy into the checklist. Like, so many people criticize like checklist type games, but at the same time, like, there are so many games that either have that at the forefront or running in the background that I think people can really get absorbed in. So we'll see. I mean, we had like, it obviously not one-to-one mechanically, but I feel like in a sense Returnal was kind of like getting at that those vibes a little bit.
But Returnal isn't, as some people out there that played it may know, it's not necessarily for everyone. It's not the easiest game in the world. So you definitely would want to have something in that genre that would be more welcoming to a wider audience.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think, like, the Gears is, you know, it's funny, I was thinking of Gears the other day. Like, I've only played the first one. Like, I played Gears of War Ultimate, like, probably when I first got my Xbox. And it's just such a, like, simple, easy, enjoyable thing to jump into, like, in terms of like a multiplayer shooter experience. We'll see, real or not, whether or not PlayStation kind of fills a little bit more of those gaps. Let's go ahead and talk about, to close out, the Borderlands movie reshoots being taken over by Deadpool director. This also comes from Jordan Midler over at VGC, who writes, reshoots for the long-in-development Borderlands live-action film have been taken over by Deadpool director Tim Miller. Deadpool reports that original director Eli Roth has handed over the reins of the project for the final 2 weeks of shooting as he departs for a new project. I had to interject because that's such, like, relatable energy. It's like, oh, is this almost done? You know what? I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm kind of out of here. I got other things to do. Deadline reports that the handing over of the production was amicable. This follows the first testing screens of the films, which took place last year. The film, based on the Gearbox shooter franchise, was scheduled to release in 2022, but there's currently no word on when it will actually release. Starring Kate Blanchett as Lilith, Kevin Hart as Roland, Ariana Greenblatt as Tiny Tina, Jamie Lee Curtis as Tannis, and Jack Black as Claptrap. The screenplay, that's just a lot of names floating around. The screenplay was for the project was written by Craig Mazin, who's also the co-showrunner of HBO's upcoming The Last of Us. Craig really getting that bag this year. During Lionsgate's panel at 2022 CinemaCon, the first footage of the film was shown. However, nothing was released to the public. So far, only an image of the characters in silhouette has been revealed. Paris, are you going to see this movie when it comes out?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Not even for the curiosity of, like, how bad is this going to be? Yeah, besides Jack Black being Claptrap, which is fucking awesome, like, what's the rest of this movie going
to
be?
Look, the Jack Black movie I'll be seeing is Super Mario Brothers. That Fair. One appeals to me way more. And it's funny using that as the analogy. The way that they've shown the Super Mario Brothers movie, even, you know, Chris Pratt, you know, things aside, you know, because people
criticize really holding it all
is,
back.
Is he doing the voice or what? Who knows? But that excites me. I'm like, that feels so faithful to what Mario is. I want to absolutely go see that. Jack Black is going to kill it as Bowser. And I'm a fan of the Borderlands series, but everything I've seen about this movie has just been, for lack of a better term, just eh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So there isn't that excitement for me. I do need to see a trailer. I need to see something tangible from that film that wows me to make me want to go to theater.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I don't see myself watching this. I think also because as a moviegoer, there are so many movies that I already miss. So the idea of like this being one of the ones that I pick up is a little bit less appealing. Yeah.
But Channing, you're just telling me yesterday you're trying to fill up those movies for A-list and stuff.
It
like
is
that,
true,
so.
But I have like, and let me know in the chat like what or Paris. I'm curious to know like how you. Like rationalize or compartmentalize going to the movie theater. Because for me, I have AMC Stubs. I don't even want to say shout out to AMC Stubs because honestly, AMC Stubs, we got beef. Y'all already know. I know you see my tweets. But I have AMC Stubs, so you know you can see 3 movies a week, whatever. I'm like, okay, I want to see a bunch of movies because like we're already paying for AMC Stubs. It's like $23 a month. You only really need to see 2 movies a month for that to like pay for itself in LA. But at the same time, like I'm trying to like really get my money's worth. With AMC Stubs. However, I won't see like anything, but I'll see a lot of stuff. Like I'll see stuff that I wouldn't if I had to like pay directly for it. But it has to be kind of like around like a 3 out of 5 or higher
you
for me to be down
is
to see
what
it.
You're saying.
But like light stand like it, you know, it's funny, I was talking to Isaiah the other day because he, you know, my boyfriend also has AMC Stubs. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna see Lyle Crocodile with you, Isaiah. Like there's no way. Like it's not gonna be good. It's like it's just a kid's movie. I have a line, you know. Megan, kind of too meme-y for me, but like he wants to see it, it'll probably be funny. Okay, sure, whatever. Or like Violent Night, very much a goofy movie. Like that was cool. That was fun. That actually was very worth seeing. So like that's kind of where I line up. But what about you? Like how often are you really getting to the theaters?
Yeah, for me, it's really down to like the big MCU movies. Mm. I'll go see, obviously, DC if they ever figure out what the hell they're doing. I would go see that.
You live
stuff.
A hard life, man. DC and X-Cast.
Yeah. But
no, we can call you a bandwagon. Yeah, that's for sure.
But like, it's funny you bring up Violent Night. Like we saw that was a family movie. Uh-huh. We all went to go see that, but that was well worth it. Megan, I'm kind of on the fence about, and like even Avatar, I was like, I don't know
long.
If I want to go see it, but my kids encouraged me. No, go see it. And then I tweeted, I will never doubt you ever again, James Cameron. You're a freaking genius. Mm. So those are the type of movies that I will run out to the theater to go see, unless there's just great word of mouth that says. I need to go see this, then I'll go. But for the most part, it's just the big MCU movies.
Yeah, I definitely get out there a little bit more. It was funny. I saw actually Glass Onion in theaters. I think it was only in theaters for like one weekend. And it was funny seeing like, it was my first time seeing a movie that was like a Netflix movie in theaters. So it had like the boom, like the Netflix thing came up. And like for a second, I was like, oh, that's like so cool. Like seeing that. But then it's like as if Netflix is not like a kajillion dollar company. And I'm like, why did I like see this and feel like, yeah, like I'm part of this. Like that's my Netflix subscription dollars at work. But the Borderlands movie is so far away. If I want to know what is coming to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we have...
Whoa, you can't just roll over the...
There we go. I've had so many, like, it's really frustrating for me is the thing, because, like, there are so many times where, like, I got that and it's good. Here's the thing that y'all don't know behind the scenes. I know I fucked it up. I understand that. A flawless show otherwise.
The chat said part-timers.
I know. The part-time energy. Look, you know, hey, I do what I need to do, and nothing more.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do a little less. Here's the thing. When I usually have this doc, I'm gonna pass the blame to Blessing here because he's not here to defend himself, and I don't think he's going to walk through the door, so I think we're fine. I add in a thing that says silly jingle time in all caps, and that's how the yellow highlight, that's awesome. If it's not explicitly there, I'm like very much like only a few steps above like the Anchorman energy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you knew exactly where I was going. The Anchorman energy. I'm Jen Garcia. Like it. Whatever's in the doc is what I'm reading, what I'm doing. Nothing more, nothing less. Anyway, out today. Lest this run over the fact that One Piece Odyssey's demo is available on PS5, PS4, and Xbox. Paris, are you a demo person?
I used to be.
Not
so much so.
What changed? Like what made the shift? You used to be like, who were you then and who are you now?
I just think there's not a lot of demos that come out anymore. So I'm not aggressively going after them, you know, trying to play them. I'm Xbox guy, Game Pass. That's the demo, right?
The ultimate demo.
Yeah.
If there's a game, you know, you want to play, like if Starfield had a demo, would you play that?
No. Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I mean, that's something they're going to heavily.
So One Piece Odyssey, that's not doing it for you. So you're not getting out of the seat to download One Piece Odyssey.
No.
It's free. Doesn't cost you nothing to try it. But yeah, that's out on PS5, PS4, and Xbox. Some new dates for y'all. Roller Drama will be released on January 26th. It's a roller derby game.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Janet. Happy birthday to you. Now, Joey told me to bring a plate to blow it out so you don't blow on it, and I forgot the plate, so you just got to use your hand now. Nailed it!
There you go.
Yay! Happy birthday, guys!
This is really cute. I appreciate it. Thank you for the cheesecake.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah, it is my favorite.
Good. We crushed it. Now it's going to sit there awkwardly.
There's nothing like Chet saying worst TGI Fridays ever. How dare you? Time yourself out, please. Thank you, guys. That was really sweet. I was not expecting that. Though I was expecting something, I'm not going to lie. Heading to PC, Switch, iOS, Android, and PlayStation, and Xbox is planned after. Roller Drama is an interesting one because actually some people tweeted at me about this because it's like, I think part roller derby, part like, I think visual novel. So that's a bit up my alley. I'll have to check that out. And another artsy game we got is Vincent Van Gogh's Art Like Never Before, in Illustrated, beginning on January 13th on Apple Arcade. And then I think what we're seeing on screen now is Roller Drama. Lead a roller. What is the genre of this? I can't remember offhand, but I like the art. I like the vibes. This is definitely one I'll check out. And then for Apple Arcade, I would really love to get more into checking out what's on Apple Arcade. Like, I have it, but like it's definitely a gap. I think digging into more mobile gaming is something I definitely want to do this year. Now let's head over to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to see if we got anything wrong. We have an addition from Barrett or someone posing as Barrett that says Star.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while. I don't know. I don't know why.
We have a lot of stuff, but like, is any of it actually wrong? We got Legends information. We got some other, like, again, y'all love to editorialize in the you're wrongs. It has to be something that we said and that was incorrect. Okay. According to this, like, it's part clarification, part whatever. Nano says The Last of Us TV show season covers the entire first game, so it will cover winter. Other stuff. I don't think too much other stuff going on here. Yeah, I think we're pretty much good. Flawless as always, except for the jingle.
Part-timers.
Part-timers. Here we go. This week's hosts are Wednesday, we have a Blessing and Greg. Thursday, we have Greg and Stella. Friday, we have Tim and Blessing. If you're watching live after this, is this updated also? Dark Picture is Devil and Me with Andy and Nick. Is that what's happening next?
That's what it says.
Okay.
If they're actually playing that, we'll find out.
Yeah. There's only one way to know, and that's to stick around. But of course, if you can't, you can always catch the stream later by subscribing to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Paris, what was it like doing this? Was this your first time doing this in the studio, Games Daily?
Yes. Actually, this is kind of a bucket list item for me to be able to finally do this in the studio. I've watched the show for so many years, got to host it, you know, be on a few times during the remote times, but to be here in studio doing KFGD with you has been a pleasure, and thank you so much for having
me.
Yeah,
thanks for joining me. It was so cool, like, walking onto the set. Obviously, like, we've done content here before, but I think Games Daily very much was, like, a consistent home for both of us outside of our pillar shows of, like, XCast and, like, PS I Love You. So this was super cool. So thank you all for tuning in. And remember that each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. And until next time, Game Daily.